I think generally it's a good internet rule is to stay away from the back alleys. Like the main
Wow.
streets is good the place to be. I'm trying to
Hard
stay away from the
disagree.
back alley.
Yeah.
You're saying to stick to the
Charlie and I are going right down that rabbit hole, getting the
Yeah.
headlamps on.
No, I'm sticking to the rivers and the lakes that I'm used to, but Spencer is arguing about dwarves on Warhammer. What is
I mean,
what's going on with dwarves, Spencer, that gets people's hackles so up?
I think people project and take it personally. I think some people identify as dwarf just because they're fat and have beards. No matter the height, it's like a solidarity thing, you know? So some people get worked up about that.
You feel there's a subreddit about TLC. What is that
Oh, yeah.
song really about? There's probably a deep dive on.
That's right. What if there's also a right eye Lopez that people just aren't. Your third eye isn't open wide enough, so you don't know about right eye.
We
That's
got
the
a
real
menu
story.
today, guys. There's a
We
menu.
do. Look at the menu. We have a,
There's
what is
a.
it?
Oh,
That's
wait,
salt
hold
and
on.
pepper, or is it
You have
something
clip
else?
art for the podcast audience. And yeah, we're tweeting out all the links while we do this, but there
I
is a
already did
salt and pepper clip art shaker decorating a menu, which takes it from like, oh, we're an experimental, futuristic new restaurant to this is like what you
Diner.
make for your parents, maybe, on like an
Yeah.
anniversary when you're six. And you're
Mother's
like,
Day's
we
coming up.
cooked for you. Yep.
Man,
Mother's Day. Oh, God. Thank you for
I'm a
reminding me. I
terrible
gotta do
gift
that.
buyer. Like, I'm not good at it. It's
I am too.
tough.
I'm worse, man. I am worse. I'm like,
I'm
I can't even.
superb. You
I'm
are?
superb. Yes, I am. Because
Good for you.
I do the thing where if I hear somebody like something during the year, I will immediately write it down, and then I will go
Wow.
buy it. And then
Yeah,
I will sit,
so.
and then it's like the quickest, it's the only way I remember things. But people are
Right.
shocked that you even remember one thing. Like,
So
you're like,
the problem
wow, how
with.
did you know I liked food? You
Yeah, I
know?
mean, the problem with that in my particular household is I don't find out what my wife likes until she's already bought it. And so then it's like, you bought all the stuff that you want. Like, so I am a bad gift buyer, so I shouldn't blame her for it. But part of it is, like, you buy the stuff you want, and then I'm like, I gotta do something creative and thoughtful. I just wanna go buy something. I don't wanna spend hours like doing things and thinking.
I've been shamed out of. I apologize to potential sponsor one fill in the blank 100 flowers, but I've been shamed out of ordering from them. Apparently that's not good enough anymore. I gotta go
Nah.
local. Right.
Go
Artisanal.
local. Go
Yeah,
local.
yeah, yeah. All
Yeah,
right,
oh,
clock's
yeah.
running. Clock's
Alabaster
running.
is. Oh, the clock has begun, Alabaster. How do we begin the feast that is Monday's episode of a fake television show where we debate nothing?
Thank you. And there's no greater gift to me than starting the actual topics. And we're going to start with the Grizzlies and Warriors, which is a fantastic game. And my question for you all is, how much scar tissue do you expect the Grizzlies to have after their heartbreaking game one loss?
So the heartbreaking aspect of this, if you missed the game, is that the Grizzlies lost by one. They were leading in the first half, but they lose by one. Draymond Green gets ejected. We'll talk about that in a second. But the Warriors win this game. Ja Morant misses a last-second layup, the kind of layup that he always makes. Honestly, here is that play, 3.6 seconds left down the left side. Klay Thompson redeeming himself after missing those free throws. And yeah, the Warriors swarm him at the end. And I'm gonna go with not a ton of scar tissue, despite that, because it feels like the Grizzlies are young enough to not have hangovers. Like that's the kind of young they are. They don't know their tolerance yet, but they're also not suffering the after effects. And that is a great spot to be when it comes to getting over something that's this miserable.
I mean, I think their expectations or the people's expectations around them has been low, particularly in this series. So, like, I'd go the other way. If there was a result of this game, even though it was a heartbreaking way to lose, like, and I guess you could say the Draymond ejection was part of it, but they found out they can hang with the Warriors, which I'm not sure people thought they could.
Yeah, I'm going to go with none. Pablo's point about being the kind of young where you don't get hangovers, that's important. There's a couple of different kinds of young. There's young and fragile, which I think you've seen they just faced a team like that, right, in the previous round of the playoffs.
Yes.
And then there's so young that you have no memory. You're just, oh, well, on to the next one. Do you know what's going to happen if they're in the same late game situation and you need a bucket from Ja Morant? Jaw's going to try the same thing.
And exactly. It probably the work. Same thing.
Yeah, same thing.
I mean, they had to leave with confidence because it felt like nobody could stay in front of Ja. And that wasn't what was happening in the Minnesota series. Like, they had guys who would at least give Ja a hard time and would force him. And he shot fairly well this game, too, which helped. But in the Minnesota series, what gave them trouble was it feels like the crux of their offense is having this super athlete that no one can stay in front of. But Minnesota seemed to stay in front of him, keep him out of the paint. It didn't seem like anyone could keep Ja out of the paint. Even in the game winner, he got to the basket, and it does so much to their defense. He makes acrobatic finishing layups. But it's the engine to their offense. All the motion and anything else they can do is all built off Ja being quicker than anyone you put in front of.
Mm-hmm. Now, Alabaster, to be fair to, like, I think the question here, because we're kind of I think the idea of what's at stake here for the Grizzlies, it's a pretty comfy spot that they're in, given all the reasons that we said. But in terms of why there is worrisome stuff going on here, I think it is also because Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr., I believe they combined for 10 threes in this game. These are guys who do not shoot threes. Jaren Jackson Jr. had 33 points on 6 of 9 shooting from three. Nice. And you just don't see that very often. You don't. And so did they waste one here? Did they waste one would be a valid question in terms of, like, actually being in the series. But in terms of humiliation involved, the psychology of it, I don't know, man. This game in Memphis, like, the crowd, it feels like no team better embodies just like the, nope, we're going to be right in your face the next game. Just in the way that we were making fun of Draymond Green in the post game after this one.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, the fact that Bane didn't have a great game is probably more worrying for the Grizzlies. Additionally, we're not talking about the biggest worry the Grizzlies have to have, which is something that they can only partially control. And that's Jordan Poole, right? Yeah. Like, that's a bigger worry here, because everyone will go, the Warriors are back. Yeah, this is new look.
It's outstanding. So unfair.
It is deeply unfair.
I think what was most impressive to me about Jordan Poole is his ability to, like, I guess, see the game. There are passes he's made. There are decisions that he made. And I'm not going to pretend to be some deep X's and O's basketball analyst, but you can watch someone and see that the game is slower to them than it is to everyone else. And normally when you have a young player who's having the season of his life and the playoffs of his life, most of the time it looks like Ja Morant. And Ja Morant is not a dumb basketball player, but he's a fast basketball player. It does not seem like the game is slow to him. And Jordan Poole, while I wouldn't ask for Jordan Poole over Ja Morant, in the games that they both play well, there's a different type of play from Jordan Poole, and it feels more mature, more playoff-like. And if he is your best player, which I know he's not actually their best player, but he's kind of been their best player for the playoff run.
I mean,
and then you have to go down the roster to find future Hall of Famers. Like, that's a really good spot to be in, and it's been consistent. It's not just a Tyrese Maxey kind of pop every now and then. Jordan Poole's been balling all year and all playoffs long and making smart passes. It's been great.
He's just got to be the best player right now. That's it. You know, you're like, are you the best player on the team? No. Are you going to be the best player for the next 5 games? Sure. If that's the case for the Grizzlies, that's trouble.
This card, which says that he scored or assisted on 52 of the team's points off the bench. I mean, Jordan Poole, it's also funny because, like, again, right, you think of the Steph Curry generation, you think of all of America, all of these kids in their driveways just bricking threes all of the time. Everyone's delusional. No one's going to be as good as Steph. The Warriors drafted someone who is, again, not as good as Steph, but seems to fit that mold and execute that sort of style of play so much better than they have any right to have. It's just like Jordan Poole should have learned all of the bad habits watching Klay and Steph. Instead, he is incredible. Yes, the fourth Warrior over the last 50 years to score 30 off the bench in the playoffs.
Nobody shoots in their driveway anymore, do they? Like, is that a dead relic of Americana? Because, like, when I'm driving around, I feel like when I was a kid, I would see some hoops in the driveway. And, like, when I watch movies, I see hoops on the garage. I don't know that I've ever seen a hoop on the garage in real life. Like, that thing died with Larry Bird's generation. Then you see, like, the whole stanchion in the driveway. Mm-hmm. But now, I don't see hoops in the driveways anymore.
I blame HOAs. That's an attractive nuisance thing, right? That's like
the anti-stanchion agenda.
Yeah, watch. Like, the quality in U.S. basketball players, it's going to sink by 25% due to HOAs forbidding that, because we don't want to see it.
They're all just playing, they're building stanchions on Roblox, I believe, is what kids are doing these days. They're spending their Robux, avoiding the supply chain crisis.
I believe in Fortnite, you can, like, swing a basketball stanchion. Like, I've seen that before. They're like, swing. I'm serious. Like, a basketball hoop is like one of the weapons in Fortnite. I've never sounded older. What you got?
I was going to say,
that was actually my interjection was, wow, you sound old. But I also started like shaking my fist, being like, I had a hoop in my driveway as a kid. And then I realized I am also old.
Go outside and do a walk just down your street. See how many hoops you got in your driveways now.
Go find a neighbor and do some mic and drills. Yeah, just work on both hands. Mm-hmm. Both hands play.
Guys, can I get a take really quick?
Sure.
No.
A Jordan Poole take. Yes. I think you guys might actually agree with this because you guys have been awesome in discussing just how incredible it is that Jordan Poole was drafted and went to the G League and ended up being awesome. So my take, and I actually thought this watching the game, was – it was kind of good for the Warriors that Draymond got tossed, because then Jordan Poole ended up playing 38 minutes and they went to this ultra small lineup with shooters everywhere when Steph and Clay at points were struggling with their jump shots.
Go ahead, Spencer.
I was going to say, did you just make an argument that Draymond Green should get thrown out every game in order to make the Warriors better? Because I want to tell you, I was going to make that point. What Draymond Green is here to do is he is here to cause violence and disruption. And then, yes, quietly clear the way for Jordan Poole to just mop up whatever needs to get mopped up at the end of the game for the Warriors.
And by quietly, of course, Spencer means jump up and down doing jumping jacks while saluting the entire city of Memphis on the way out as soon as it's declared that, in fact, this is a flagrant two and you've been ejected for raking Brandon Clark across the face and grabbing his jersey.
I like the fact that Draymond can get away with all of that makes me so happy and a little sad, because can you imagine any other player behaving like that in that situation and the morning after us not flipping out about?
No, it's such a good point.
Like the foul, we would be up in arms about that. And then the antics to go with it. Like, we have gotten to know Draymond so well and what he means to this team so well that we've passed the point of like being upset and confused by it. And then normally this is where I come in. Everyone's upset, yes. Everyone's angry, everyone's confused. Then I come in and explain to you what this means to a team. But we're already there. Everyone already knows, like, no, this is what he, like, you're gonna lose him sometimes. This is what you do. It's like a quarterback who throws four touchdowns. He's gonna throw an interception every now and then. Draymond is an emotional gunslinger. And we all have accepted that he's an emotional gunslinger, and you take the TDs with the pick sixes.
No, he is just a kid out there in all of these senses. And when Alabaster poses the question, right, of like, was this good? I mean, number one, let's be very honest about this too, right? The conversation we're having now where Dominique does not need to even begin to defend Draymond Green, because we all love it, which is just boxing him out of his usual hobby horse.
This is my whole role. I'm a black former player. Like, I come in when the whites get angry and the whites are very judgy of black men doing things they don't understand. I come in and say, chill out. He's a player. This comes with him on the team.
Price of greatness. No, but this is exactly. And so here, because they won the game, we can do the thing, to be very clear about this, where Draymond Green is some combination, right? Just look at the behavior that we've all sort of embraced here. That was a little Antonio Brown on the way out, right? There was some Jimmy Butler on the way onto the internet, where he immediately goes and starts podcasting. Because,
all-time poster. All-time poster thing right there, right? All-time. Like, smart. If you want to go, if you're like, who's online and immediately posting about it? Two dudes, Draymond and KD. That's it. Also, how can you not appreciate him doing this in Memphis, right? A little bit of the forearm shiver there, baby. Playing to a wrestling crowd. Perfect.
I love it.
It was, Alabaster, I think, like, weirdly a best case scenario. Because because they got away with it is what I mean.
Yeah,
because
I don't know.
Because they get away with it, everything looks like it was kind of on purpose, as opposed to something that was a kid, having a tantrum, flipping out, and then everybody suffering as a result.
I mean, it's an interesting lineup. I don't know if they stumbled onto something better than what they have with Draymond on the floor. I guess there is no – I mean, Jaren Jackson can play in the interior, but they don't have a true post presence the way that Jokic can is capable of being a true post presence, which is why Draymond is so valuable. He has the speed, athleticism, and size to run and shoots good enough to not kill their offense. Having Jordan Poole out there is not someone who shoots good enough to not kill their offense. It's someone that you have to aggressively defend. So that trade-off is something that I don't think will hurt them in this series, but I don't know if it's a long-term solution.
Also, can we talk about the sunglasses that Draymond was wearing? Because he came out, Alabaster, he came out with the uncut gems, this is how I win sunglasses. The whole, like, ooh, metal part, just the shades, metal part, just like... Whatever energy Draymond is on is extraordinarily chaotic, as we would have hoped.
I think we can all agree that Draymond is our muse.
See, I'm not old. I'm not old. I know things that happen on the internet.
I know internet. How do you do, fellow kids?
Yeah, I know things that happen on the internet.
I'm on the TikTok.
That's right. Yeah, I'll be ticking and talking. Right. The funny thing is, my TikTok has been catered to old men. Like, they don't, the algorithm has figured out that I'm an old black man. They send me so so many battle raps. Like, I don't want to watch battle raps. I get so many battle raps. Like, what do you guys know about me?
No, Dominique, I'm getting the very on the nose chiropractor TikTok.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I get so much chiropractor crack video.
Buddy.
I love them too.
There's a Filipino one, a Filipino chiropractor, to be
do
clear.
They know? Do they know?
I hope that Shaq knew when he cracked Shaq's neck and like dust sort of emerged somehow. It was, it makes me, Spencer, you're like somebody who actually like, you know, lifts and works out and stuff. I am just doing amateur neck cracks in lieu of exercise, which feels like maybe
just that, maybe not that, the best. and a lot of deep breathing. I really want to tell you what TikTok's got for me, but I'm not going to. I'm not.
Yeah, let me sneak some butts in on me too, Spencer. Oh, I mean, sneaking them tails in.
Look, whomst among us has not been served an algorithmic diet of just straight up butts.
Anyone who is saying whomst, they don't like them big. I'm telling you, anyone who's saying hoops is getting the flat ones. They're not getting the same ones that I'm getting. They're not getting the shakers.
See, the back's real long. Yeah.
The best part is you guys are assuming that you're not like, oh, there's a lot of modeling. And by modeling, I don't mean ladies.
Yeah, I
mean,
I know what you mean.
Plastic models that get painted.
Yeah, you're getting me.
Which is just as embarrassing.
A lot of ships and bottles.
Maybe a couple. Okay. It's an art.
Just on perfect dwarves.
Man, differently. Okay.
Perfect dwarves.
All right. Yeah. As Alabaster brings up the next question, I'm going to see what's the next TikTok they would feed me.
Please.
Volume down.
All right, guys. Next topic. Should we overreact to the way the Bucks bullied the Celtics in Game 1?
Yes. Yes. What's the fun in not overreacting to the bullying? Like, I think part of Spencer, look, again, like, the reason we all check ourselves into the Supermax prisoner of the moment prison is because we've watched something where it's like, this may never end. Like, Giannis could just keep doing this, being the actual guy we nominate to go fight the aliens for us. The Bucks defense could absolutely just say, hey, Celtics, you want to shoot all the threes in the world? Go ahead. We're still going to hold you to 89 points and 34% shooting. Like, it's a really good matchup. And yes, there was a bullying that I feel like might carry to the end of this thing, as much as I said not 4 days ago that the Celtics are absolutely the NBA favorites.
I'm happy overreacting to this. That's fine, especially because I know Boston fans will be very rational when dealing with all of this. That because they won't. I just enjoy kicking a hive. That's fine. They had a bad night shooting. That's it. Do you want the rational take? No, you don't want that. You want me to go, they're going to shoot 30% for the rest of the series. They're going to completely betray everything that
Jason
they did
Tatum
beating the Nets. Yeah.
Washed.
They
washed.
Had a bad night shooting, but they also had a bad night in shot decisions, which may be a result of Giannis. So it's not just that they didn't shoot well. It's that they shot from far away from the basket, which, like, it's easy to say, take it to the rim. Y'all see who's hanging out at the rim? Like,
so
that is not a club that is easy to get into. those bounces and not bounces that you want to play around with. Him and Lopez, frankly, but
Brook Lopez is a difference maker, man. Like, again, an incredible weirdo. Like, loves Disney World and Michael Jackson.
I bet he's
has
been
lots
deep,
of...
deep in some Reddit rabbit holes.
He oh, 100 of time. Do you think he's had an argument over Disney princesses?
Oh, I bet
he
guaranteed.
Had. Oh, yeah, guaranteed. Yeah, guaranteed.
His TikTok algorithm is arrestable, I think, just based on just like
minus
demographics
two
that we're discussing.
I'm nervous to tell you what they fed me. It was
what did yeah, I was gonna say, what did you look at? Because you then immediately put your phone away.
Yeah, the CIA might be coming to my house soon. It was a person doing a Louis Farrakhan imitation. I swear, yeah. I'm not sure what I did. I don't know what my phone behavior is doing to suggest to them that I want. And it wasn't even like old Louis Farrakhan. It was a young man, and he wasn't doing it in a way to get laughs. He was just like, I don't know. It was bad.
He was doing a humorless Farrakhan lip sync.
Yeah. And I want to make it clear to the United States government that I do not support or condone this particular TikTok.
There should be a button for that. I am impressed, by the way, mostly of this. We were talking about how the Warriors don't really have anyone in the middle to sort of disrupt things if Draymond is not around. Okay, the Bucks have two, and that to me is like the most apparent thing. In addition to the general disruption field of Giannis, I just want some kind of stat that's just a circle on the court that shows where he's affected. Right. Don't give me a glowing puck for hockey. Don't give me shots for golf. I can do without all that. I just want an impact field for Giannis, because it's like 10 feet on either side of him easily when you're trying to work offensively or defensively with him on the court. It's astonishing.
Yeah, I mean, he literally can get from half court, Dominique, to the rim with like 1.5 steps. And so defensively, when Alabaster throws this card down, that's very helpful. Thank you, Alabaster, that Boston made 10 two-pointers in total, the second fewest ever by a team in a playoff game. Yeah, it's because
that's not
of
even.
That
no, hold on, Pablo. Can we take a break right there? That's not even points in the paint.
That's right.
That's inside the three-point line. The
long
entire game. That's not even mid-range jump. They couldn't get anything done because either Giannis was affecting it, Lopez was affecting it, or they just realized we don't need to go down there.
Wait, okay, hold on. Yet more statistics.
That is not a team you want to see mentioned in the same breath as you in a game. Not that game.
Yeah, the Rockets.
No, because the 2017 Rockets are being invoked here. The Celtics were 2-for-23 on contested shots. ESPN began tracking contested shots in 2014. The only team to be worse by percentage on contested shots is the team that happened to miss approximately 1 million three-pointers in a row in Game 6 of the Western Conference Finals in 2017. Your Houston Rockets, dear Lord.
Can I give you a zoom out for a second?
Please.
Giannis, like, we don't talk very much about defense and its impact on the game. However, like, when we talk about best player in the game, and I'm guilty of this also, we talk about who can, like, get the last bucket, because that's what we remember. But throughout the course of an entire game, it is hard to argue the impact that Giannis has. Even, I mean, offensively, he's out here doing all-star game moves off the backboard dunks.
We'll get to that. We have to.
And playoff games. But aside from that, even when it's not this gross, his impact, his presence, it's hard to measure. It's like a cornerback that you can't throw to. It's like a defensive lineman who you can't run at, or a rush in that you have to double team. Even if he's not making a play, they took 50 threes. Even if he's not making a play, just as soon as he steps on the floor, like, your defense gets better. And they weren't great on defense in the regular season, but Giannis hit that switch and went to Giannis mode. You can't tell me, if you watch that game, that the Celtics were the defensive masterminds and it wasn't the other side.
No, it felt like Giannis and the Bucks, what they were doing, and Mike Budenholzer gets credit for this too, because I make fun of him for looking like a guy who just woke up on his couch at 3 a.m. Yeah, Booty, who's just like woken up and like, oh, I forgot to take out the trash, I'm being yelled at, like, gotta go do it. Like, he looks in control in this one. And part of it is him like doing the dad move on the Celtics where it's like, I heard you like to smoke cigarettes. How about you smoke all of the cigarettes? Like, here's a carton of cigarettes. How does it feel? How does it feel, City of Boston?
To yeah, shoot, I heard you like
smoke
defense.
50 cigarettes.
Yeah. To be clear, I wasn't talking about the coach. I was talking about my TikTok feed. Go ahead, Spencer.
Yeah. I was just going to say that that when it comes to look at your life, look at your decisions for a team, usually in the NBA these days, it's like, well, you got to make your threes. You got to hit your threes. It's not good when you come back and it's like, y'all, you got to make your twos. We got to work on making those twos. Those twos and those ones. Then maybe we can worry about taking any one of the 50 threes we took.
Yeah. Can we talk about 1-2 in particular, Alabaster? Because Dominique referenced it. It is, we just crowned, of course, like last week, Ja having the greatest playoff dunk we've ever seen. This one is in the conversation. Do we have the video? Can we summon the video?
Yeah, I Let think me he's know looking up because, on his phone now.
Because on your phone, there should be something.
This is one of those things that you probably should have told Alabaster before the show that you wanted to have it. But right. He is scrambling to get
it. But much like Giannis, I'm throwing it off the backboard to myself and yamming it. Yo, can we just keep that on loop there, Alabaster? Because Jason Tatum, he goes from like, wow, Giannis just bricked this so bad to, oh my God, my astral projected self has left my body and I have died. Like, it's incredible. By the time he realizes what happens, this has already just happened.
I just want to keep your phone up there so that an embarrassing text message pops up. Like, yo, don't forget to take that penicillin. Like, something like that.
I was in class. I took a class, an English class in college, and the teacher had to take his laptop and hook it up to a projector. Yo, man, you got to close those other tabs, brother.
Oh, no.
Speaking of guys who had some content on there.
How bad was
it's let's just say that the first word of the tab was cream.
No, no.
Man,
no.
The dude loves dessert.
No, he loves
I mean, Spencer and I did just get back from Vegas, so penicillin's probably in order. Just being there in general, I took two COVID tests.
What was Vegas like?
I mean, it was Vegas.
Yeah, it's Vegas. It's the same every time.
You know, it is. It's incredibly awesome on day one. It's really cool on day two. And on day three, you can't wait to go home.
On day three, the sad kicks in. You know, like 48 hours and 1 minute. That's when you go, oh no, I'm over here. Oh, I gotta go.
What a great city.
But you're both uninfected, is what I got from the thing I just interrupted Dominique saying. You're both
many hundreds
not needing penicillin.
Many hundreds of dollars lighter because, again, like the Celtics, I could not hit my twos at the roulette table, okay? Or threes, or any other number, really.
I've taken multiple COVID tests. I'm still uninfected, but who knows what's flying around in them Vegas air, the casino air. I could have caught any number of diseases, so we'll see. I had my mask on, which y'all thought it was for COVID. No, it's for everything else.
All those new variants, Alabaster, being stewed up there with like Wi-Fi code names. Like, no, I got this is beyond my comprehension.
I did see, and I've mentioned this on Twitter, but I will reiterate, my favorite thing I saw in Vegas was seeing a guy in a Washington Commander shirt, old logo, not new, walk straight into the doors of Caesar's Palace. I mean, just whammo, like straight on, like the good kind where like
what time
was done, did the window shut? Like, yeah.
I'm sure it was AM, right? It had to be.
Bright sun. Yeah. I think he came right out of the sunshine, didn't adjust, just went like wham. Right in.
Man, so you know the people who are like on the street. So Vegas, I'm out there. There are women on the street with very little clothes on, like offering to take pictures with you and doing that. And then there's always a guy with a big sign telling you you're going to hell.
Yeah.
Yep.
And everyone like ignores him and walks by and he has a big sign and he's yelling about the rapture coming. He got somebody to stop and talk to him. That was the craziest thing I had ever seen in Vegas. Somebody stopped and was chatting him up. I was like, what are you doing? Are you not from here? Like, that's, you don't stop and talk to this guy. First of all, he's preaching to all of us. Don't monopolize his good word. It's for all of us. Second of all, I'm sure he ain't know what to say. He's like, I never made it this far. No one's ever. He probably was stumped. He's like, what's step two?
My move whenever I'm confronted with someone who is preaching to me along those lines is to just agree. I'm just in agreement. I am such a pushover.
100%. Yeah. My other favorite thing, by the way, is this. Day one, teams without a draft pick still out there. Just fans. Fans who are there. Like, yeah, we're going to win today. Like, Raiders fans on day one, all over the place. I know they're local, but it's parking ain't free. They still came down.
The move is ignored, by the way. It's not to agree. It's just – it's invisible. No matter what they're yelling about, they're invisible. 76ers. Oh, no. Just like the 76ers playoff chances.
Thank you, Dominique.
Look at that.
Look at that. Well done. All right. God. Question.
I could feel Alabaster's nervousness, and so I try to get him to the question.
You know me so well. All right. Question. About someone else who's probably very nervous heading into this series. Does James Harden have more or less pressure on him now that Joel Embiid is hurt?
Hold on. Okay. Hold on. Ugh. Great question. I will have to admit, it's an outstanding question.
So much like me on any number of recorded in-car Uber cams, I am on tape with many bad takes agreeing with all sorts of things that just cannot be defended in this series. Mm-hmm. Triple segue. So James Harden, yes, like James Harden right now, the only benefit is that and maybe this is the genius of him, honestly. He tanked his own expectations so low that now my first thought is not to say James Harden will choke or save us, because I'm kind of expecting the worst at this point because Joel Embiid is already hurt. And I don't have very high expectations for James Harden right now, to be honest with you. That's the kind of pain that I am in personally.
I enjoy that this is supposed to be a meaningful stat when his final year in Houston ended the way that it did, as if you could apply any pressure. The genius of James Harden is that he is a true neutral, right? Yeah. That is chaotic neutral. You don't know what's going to happen. It's not personal. There's just he's going to do what he's going to do. Be there and see what comes up on the dice. That's it. Speaking of Vegas, just roll them and see what happens.
I'm trying to imagine an image of James Harden celebrating. Like, I don't, you say he's a true neutral. Like, I don't ever really remember James Harden, like, super celebratory. I don't ever remember him super down. Like, complaining to the refs is the height of his emotion. It's like, give me that foul. This is, and that's a useful thing, I think, but it's not when you need to meet a moment. And he's yet to, like, really meet one of those big moments, and I don't think he's going to now. But I do think the pressure's down.
I have a question for you, Dominique. Does it change where he's going after the game if he wins or loses?
No, that's where we've seen him celebrate. That's where his jersey has literally been raised to the rafters.
I don't think so. You can put it a lot of different ways. I just think he's probably one of the healthiest people in the NBA. Yeah. Because no matter what happens during the game, it's the same dude. And it's the same outcome every time.
No. You know who loves day three in Vegas? James Harden.
I have to imagine that he actually does not show any emotion at a club of any kind. And no one knows whether he's enjoying it or not until the money starts flying. And they're like, oh, I wasn't sure that you was liking what you were seeing. But I can't imagine that if he hits a game winner and he doesn't give you much, that some shaking and some jiggling is not going to get him that excited either.
Well, the shaking and the jiggling that's going to result in money flying on the court is all very important right now, because a giant Supermax extension is on the line. James Harden is going to have to flop his way to victory here is my hope. I mean, he made 55% of his layups the last 4 years. This year, only 48%. Like, he's just not the same guy when it comes to attacking the rim. He is somebody who's lost that step. That is indisputable to me. The question is whether it's good that we're theorizing maybe he's a little hurt right now. Does that say anything about what his next year is going to be like? But yeah, floaters, 46% last 4 years. This year, 33%. And I just want to, can we just also not zoom right by the fact that Joel Embiid feels like someone has a voodoo doll of him.
Yeah, it's not great.
And I want to murder whoever it is because it's unfair to me. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, it's been bad. But I do think, to the original question, no one's expecting him to win, so there's less pressure on James Harden. Yeah. If Joel Embiid is there and healthy and they lose, it's going to be an avalanche on James Harden.
Don't put sad Joel Embiid up there.
I
No,
mean,
no.
His face. They broke his face, Alabaster. He has a facial fracture, his orbital bone, here it is, mm-hmm. on a play that none of us thought was that serious at the time, because how can I relate to any of the things happening in this free body diagram of a play? But yeah, like, he gets cracked in the face. He's been cracked in the face before. Presumably he'll be back later this series with the mask on, and get DeAndre Jordan the hell out of here.
No.
Get him out.
No.
This is my nightmare, by the way. I have Alabaster, give me another fake television show that has complained about DeAndre Jordan more than this one has, because this right here is the thing that's going to send me to an early death.
Capella. Like, they're going to go back to Harden Capella, high screen and roll, lob game, lob city action. That's what's going to happen. They're going to run the Heat out of the gym.
I can't handle. Oh, my God. And I forgot. James Harden on the road in Miami, which is just mm-hmm. like, I can't.
Why is that bad, Pablo?
You know,
dehydrated from all the sun. It's gonna that's sweat. Right.
Mm-hmm. He loves paragliding, and I just feel like that's gonna be too tempting for him during this season.
Okay, yeah. Shouts out to Jimmy Butler for going to like America's least hospitable city and being like, "This is it." Yes. It's like the place where only good-looking people with money are rewarded with anything. And he's like, that's me, Jimmy Butler.
He was handsome.
Lord.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's a pretty Definitely. Handsome guy. He's kind of – I mean, I don't know if
he's
being
friends
in
with Mark Wahlberg. What else do you need? What other qualities do you need out of a man?
I mean, a little bit of more emotional stability would be nice.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Not too stable, though. I don't want Harden. No. Like, I need a little show me that you're happy.
That man is human boron, human neon. He has a noble gas. He does not interact with other elements. He is just what he is.
Oh, man. You really earned your glasses right there.
I want to say noble gas is the name of a strip club that James Harden would love going to, but we'll have to sort of workshop that, because it gets a little gross, honestly, at the current form that we're working with.
This is not your forte.
That's quite a kink. All right.
Okay. Football, we're going to move on. Yeah. NFL draft. And question, obviously the story of the draft was quarterbacks falling. And our question is, what's it tell you that every QB other than Kenny Pickett fell in the draft this year?
Did no one want to win a press conference? Did no one want to just like take the easy win, declare we have our savior? Because that's what it tells me. Like, they passed that up. Long game over the short game.
Is the NFL smart? Like, again, this is another time when y'all coming for my job, like defending black athlete, my lane, making fun of Gettleman and other people who make bad NFL decisions, my lane. Right now, like, I guess we could get on Jacksonville, but none of these quarterbacks deserve to be first round, including Kenny Pickett. So I guess we could talk bad about the Steelers, but it's worth a shot. Like, I don't know. Could we go the other way? Is it dumb that they didn't draft him?
No, because I think this is like, we talked about this, like, I'm just as shocked as you are, because my gig is saying that the NFL is, like, super dumb for not obviously drafting great players. That, everything that happened this weekend, they were like, we could talk about maybe two picks being reaches, maybe three, like, obvious reaches. But other than that, you know, and besides N'Kobe Dean falling, like, way down the board, there really weren't a whole lot of things where you go, I think that was egregiously wrong. The two quarterbacks in question that were the most like developmental kind of picks, you know, in terms of like Malik Willis, I think Carson Strange was out. Oh, Sam Howell. Those three who were all, you know, draftable or signable, they were in the bottom five when it came to sacks taken in the 2021 college football season. So I think a lot of it was data driven. You didn't know what you were getting because these guys spent most of last year running for their lives. So I think this was actually like really smart, and smart for the players long term. I know financially, and that's a big cut. I don't want to say like, yeah, ignore the money. No, it sucks, man. You could have had a $27 million signing bonus, you know, instead you get like a five or a $27 million deal and you end up getting a $5 million deal. That sucks. There is one silver lining to this, though, and that's time to grow. Expectations and the lack of pressure that might add up later on.
Yeah, I mean, and you get the free agency. There's no fifth year option. You'll get the free agency sooner. But the drawback of that is Normally, when you're drafted that high, they're going to do as much as they can to help you succeed. When you're drafted late, they're going to throw you out there, see what you got. If you show them you're good, you're done. And like a lot of those quarterbacks last year who went in the first round had like subpar seasons. If they were third, fourth, fifth round picks, they'd be looking for jobs right now.
Wait. Are we then declaring, before we get to this quote here that I have to lay down, before we get there, are we declaring that much like, much like the basket stanchion and possibly Dominique, depending on test results, that Dave Gettleman is going extinct? Like, wait a minute. The NFL actually, did they learn their lesson? Is that what we just learned here?
No. Cardinals still out there, man. Cardinals is still out there.
What a ridiculous move they made. And like my son is a Ravens
fan. Explain the move.
The Hollywood Brown trade. Spencer, please have at it.
No. That's my answer is no.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, so it seems the market for receivers is going up substantially. Mm-hmm. And we saw trades that represent that, including A.J. Brown, which I think was a defendable trade for the Titans. And also think it was defensible trade for the Eagles to bring him in. So the Ravens moved on from Hollywood Brown. It's a first round pick of theirs a few years ago, who was electric in college, hasn't been so electric in the NFL. I don't think if he was in the draft this year, I don't think the Ravens would draft him again in the first round, but somehow they got a first round pick for him to send him to Arizona to a team that I'm very confused by that didn't really – like there were receivers in this draft that they could have drafted that were at least projected to be as good or better and also cheaper because Hollywood is headed into free agency after this season. Like it just doesn't make any sense as a decision being made. Only thing that somehow makes sense is he played with Kyler in college.
Right.
But I don't know. At Oklahoma –
I mean, maybe let's look at it this way. I'm going to ask our resident nerd, Pablo.
That's
if you have a skill player at the peak of his value, you trade him, right? You trade him. That's the first thing. That's the first thing that happens. Is, you know, like you follow the process and you go, huh? Look, he's as good as he's ever gotten, and he had some injuries. Let's go. Get new blood. That's what you do if you're following the spreadsheet, correct? That's why Titans fans shouldn't be mad. Don't catch a falling knife, right? That's an old like. And don't do that. Don't grab somebody on the way down, right? And even if that person's going to be productive, they're never going to be more valuable to you as a franchise.
My thing about Spencer saying aphorisms like "don't catch a falling knife" is that his whole aesthetic suggests that he tried to do that once and learned the lesson.
How do you like? Know? I did.
The best thing about Spencer, and I got to hang with him a lot, is you get to mess with people when you're with Spencer because Spencer gives off, while he's a very like calculated, conservative in his decision-making kind of guy, he gives off, who the hell knows, he could do anything. And I had a good time tricking people into believing Spencer did some wild stuff. It's a lot of fun having him as a part of your crew.
And you don't know. Maybe it happened.
I now realize who the person who was arguing with the Hellfire guy is.
Hold on. Pablo, told you that when Lil Baby was performing at Dre's that Spencer got pulled on stage, how would you respond to that? Or if I told you...
Honestly, absolutely can see it. Or if I told you
Spencer was asleep by 8:30. Like, both seem possible. Or I said Spencer was debating the Jesus Saves guy on the corner. All of that sounds like something Spencer would do. And really, he was just reading about these players and taking naps and occasionally putting money on the roulette table.
If I told you I lost $800 at breakfast, would you believe me?
You should.
You should, because I did. Yeah.
But, you never know with this guy.
Yeah.
Ooh, let's make fun of Bill Belichick, the real coach in football.
What I've learned, Alabaster, is that you and me, Alabaster, missed out on a hell of a weekend for the old debatable crew.
Yep.
Yeah, it would have been
fun. Just major
FOMO.
Maybe next year.
Yeah. All right, rapid fire on this last one. After this year's draft, do you still trust Bill Belichick, the GM?
He was Spencer was doing the Dougie behind Lil Baby. I was like, the dance is outdated, but like, who
why
knows?
Is
yeah.
why is Lil Baby's background dancer creating a 1,000-piece Warhammer like set in the background? This is very avant-garde.
Where did he get fireworks, and why does he have them indoors?
I like it. I appreciate that. Lil Baby's background dancers were not like my TikTok feed. They're like Spencer's TikTok feed. Like, there was no shaking and jiggling, because shaking and jiggling would make bringing up the sails on your boat in a bottle very difficult. We need everyone
see,
still.
Right. See, no, it requires a steady hand for assembly.
Never catch a falling knife, never shake and jiggle the ship you're building inside of a giant ancient bottle. Yeah.
Bill Belichick's been a terrible drafter awful. Forever.
Yeah, what on earth?
Oh, come on. We really, wait, hold on. So the reputation, of course, is the genius of talent evaluation. And you're saying that's never been true?
He's a genius of talent application. He's a genius of applying the talent that he has. He's never been, or that organization in this long, beautiful dynasty has not outperformed the rest. I don't know what the numbers suggest, but my guess is he's closer to underperforming when it comes to like finding talent in the draft than he is to overperforming. My guess would be he's below the mean on productive talent, but maybe just because they've had success that they've done better. But yeah, I'm not surprised by this. It speaks to his job security and that they are different there, because nobody, the picks that they made, nobody had him going there.
Yeah, I don't get picking Strange that high. He wasn't necessarily alone in overvaluing him against projection, but there were other people in that position who could have been taken. I think he sometimes...
First off, Spencer, in Vegas, lots of people are picking Strange real high.
That's general. Yeah, sometimes you put it up and you're just like, no, don't dunk it. Don't. I didn't want you to dunk that one.
But actually, Cole Strange, the player, explain who that is, because a lot of people who even pay attention to this stuff were like, what is this?
Cole Strange, he's an offensive lineman out of UT Chattanooga. That's the Mocs. He was highly touted by a lot of scouts as somebody who was, you know, under the radar, possibly, you know, starter material. And then Belichick just decided to go ahead and take him in round one. And the thing with Belichick is you go, well, maybe he'll end up being Logan Mankins. That can happen. It could happen. But that's a gamble. Will we remember it? No, because he's Bill Belichick, and he's going to go ahead and take the luxury of all that prestige and trust you have in him to go ahead and do the craziest thing he wants to do, right? Tyquan Thornton's not a bad pick. It's just – it's not necessarily – him making the obvious picks off a board that everyone else will make. Sometimes he does this thing, though, where he's like, I'll take that cool guy. Like, they ended up signing Kevin Harris in, like, the sixth – or taking Kevin Harris in the sixth round, running back out of South Carolina, who I think will be – you know, I think he could be awesome. But that's iffy, right? That's a sixth rounder. That's not your first rounder.
I don't know what Cole Strange does well, because I don't watch Chattanooga tape, and I try to watch as little lineman tape as possible, but – whatever he does well, because that's Bill Belichick's MO, is I'm not going to make you do anything you don't do well. Whatever he does well, he does it really well, and they're going to do it every snap like next year. That must be the plan, because to draft somebody that high that no one else has that high suggests to me that whatever he does is so special that you couldn't risk not getting it. And I can't imagine an offense built around a guard, but we're about to see it. We're about to see what it looks like to have an offense built around a guard. He run reverses?
My
only guard passes? Running the six to the guard?
Single wing, baby. We're running the single wing.
My only Chattanooga scouting report is when I had to cover the 1AA title game, Appalachian State versus Delaware. So saw Joe Flacco in a title game in college, and it was at UT Chattanooga Stadium. And speaking of what it's like to be a young person drinking, an old man who looked like something – honestly, Spencer, it looked like you. An old man, sure. Gabe, who had the full-on beard, overalls, passed me a mason jar with just, like, home-brewed moonshine. And I just felt, I felt the back of my skull,
and
like,
you drank
open
it.
Up.
And, to go full circle, you are young and dumb like the Grizz.
That's right. Woke up the next day like that.
Click. Woke up like this.
Zero hangover as they from say. The foolishness.
I love Spencer, but if somebody who looks like Spencer handed me something in a jug to drink, nah, I'm good. At all ages.
full of vitamins.
Yeah, okay.
For alcohol.